It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. A bumper Saturday with both Celtic and Rangers in action at the same time. Ange Postecoglou's side host Aberdeen while Michael Beale takes his men to Livingston. There's also Hibs against Kilmarnock, Dundee United taking on St Johnstone and St Mirren at home to Ross County. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio today is Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL.
And we'll call it simultaneous Saturday, Andrew, I think. Super Scoreboard takes you to two places at one time, from West Lothian to the East End of Glasgow. No comedy acts, just the serious business of the Championship. 1 week before you-know-who play you-know-where for you-know-what. Big games, big names today, unless your name happens to be O. And we are all over all of them, using what Gordon DL knows as the powers of bilocation.
You know, I'm looking forward to today, Andrew, because it's quite unusual we get Rangers and Celtic kicking off the same time on a Saturday when we are live on air. So, intriguing day ahead, and all the fixtures in between, plenty of intrigue in the ones at the bottom of the table, and that middle table as well, bunching up nicely. So, big day ahead.
With the guys, strap yourself in. I think we'll get plenty of goals, plenty of action, plenty of excitement, and I'm really looking forward to this afternoon's card.
Yeah, I think the last time Celtic and Rangers both played in separate games at 3 o'clock on a Saturday was back in September 2020. It was during lockdown season as well, yeah. So things were very different then. So it should be an interesting dynamic today with both teams in action.
If I remember that day well, Andrew, Rangers scored
4. 4-0 win against Dundee United,
Celtic and Celtic scored 5. So it was 9-0 on aggregate. You'd settle for that today if you were Ange Postecoglou and Michael Beale. But somehow, I think it'll be tighter than that from West Lothian to the East End.
Well, 5 big Premiership games to keep you up to date with. And of course, we'll let you know what's happening all around the grounds in Scotland as well. And then come 5 o'clock, it's the open line, 01419511025. We'll want to hear from you then, but plenty of action to happen before then. Let's go to Celtic Park, shall we? Gabriel Antoniazzi has the build-up.
Thanks, Andrew. Yes, 8 wins in a row for Celtic. They are cruising at the top of the league at the moment, trying to maintain their advantage over Rangers, with both teams, of course, playing at the same time this afternoon. Michael Beale says 9 points is a big gap, but Cameron Carter-Vickers told us yesterday that it isn't. Expect the Hoops to go all out here as they aim to continue their free scoring form. They're, of course, totally focused on Aberdeen today. They'll still want to be flying going into next week's League Cup final against Rangers at Hampden. Big team news here as well, coming from the Celtic changing room. Kyogo was passed as fit yesterday by Ange Postecoglou, which is a huge relief to the Celtic supporters everywhere. Of course, he came off early last weekend with a shoulder injury. However, he is only fit enough for the bench today. He is one of 3 changes from that 5-1 win against St Mirren in the Cup last week. Aaron Moy and David Turnbull drop out entirely. As I said, Kyogo is on the bench. Oh makes his first start for the club. He leads the line up top. A huge chance for the Korean, whilst Hatate and O'Reilly come back into the midfield. I'll give you the full 11 now. It's Joe Hart in goal. Back 4 of Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Carl Starfelt and Greg Taylor. Captain Callum McGregor at the base of midfield, with Reo Hatate and Matt O'Reilly either side of him. Jota and Dyson Maeda are on the wings. Oh leads the line. Bain, Haksabanovic, Abada, Kobayashi, Kyogo, Iwata, Bernabe, Rousen and Forrest are the substitutes. Well, what about the visitors here today? The Dons are up, managed by former Celt Barry Robson. Of course, he's in interim charge of the club as they look for their next permanent boss. Robson's only been in charge of 2 matches, 1 win and 1 loss, but he did have a free week 7 days ago due to their early Scottish Cup exit. Perhaps the spare time on the training ground will have given him time to get his ideas across. Will we see improved results on the pitch this afternoon? There's only one change from their 3-1 victory over Motherwell last time out. Liam Scales cannot play against his parent club, so Jack McKenzie comes into the left-hand side of defence. It's a 3-5-2 formation for the Dons. Jay Gorter in goal. Back 3 of Matthew Pollock, Angus McDonald and Jack McKenzie. Matty Kennedy is right wing back with Johnny Hayes on the left. Ilba Ramadani and Graham Shinney are at the base of midfield, with Leighton Clarkson just in front of them. And the 2 leading the line are Bojamiowski and Duke. Substitutes: Lewis, Markande, Mislovic, Watkins, Polvara, Coulson, Duncan, Richardson and Roberts. The referee here in Glasgow is Willie Collum. The VAR is Alan Newlands.
Yeah, a few interesting pieces of team news there from Celtic Park. I think the headline one, Hugh, would be the fact that Kyogo does not start. He had some fitness issues after the last game, a shoulder injury. Ange Postecoglou did play it down, but does that seem like the sensible choice with such a big game next weekend?
I would describe it as the intriguing choice. I think the fans already like the look of O. He got his first goal for the club against St Mirren in the Cup last Saturday. He has looked promising the game before that, the way he rolled Considine up at Perth and gave Celtic the free kick from which David Turnbull scored the fourth goal. I think it's an intriguing one. I think Kyogo is in no doubt of his place at Hampden, but it's intriguing for the fans to see O from the start. And let me get it off my chest right away. I do not understand why Willie Collum, who's had a shocking season and who has made mistake after mistake, is put in charge of the game of the day in Scotland. It baffles me.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get onto referees as the day goes on. Mark, talking about O, it's a huge opportunity for him, isn't it?
It certainly is. Young player who's came to the country and made an immediate impact, you've got to say. And, you know, you've got to remember, he's been surrounded by the whole Giakoumakis debacle as well. You know, he would have been well aware are the shoes that he has to fill and what Giakoumakis meant to the Celtic fans. So that can bring about its own pressures, but got to see it. Every time I've seen him, he does look impressive. Now, he's got the opportunity from the start today against an Aberdeen side who have struggled to keep clean sheets this year. I think it's a cautious choice from Ange Postecoglou. One eye next week. Knows he's got Kyogo on the bench if things aren't going right, but I like the look of this boy. I think he'll do a good turn for Celtic this afternoon.
I think it's a good selection in the case of when you come to a new club, especially as a centre-forward, most important thing, get your first goal. Go up and running, get that off your back, get that goal. That gives you the confidence. I think it's a great bit of timing for him because he'll be desperate to go out there, home against Aberdeen, decent side, big crowd. So I think he'll be out there to prove what he's all about. And as I say, the goal has given him so much confidence. He'll be looking for opportunities and he'll be looking for an hard one today.
We'll need to hear what Ange Postecoglou says, whether it's before the game or after the game, about Aaron Moy, but he's not in the squad whatsoever, Mark. Will that be a concern for Celtic fans with a cup final a week away and just given the form he's been in over the last couple of months?
Not a concern for today because they've got that much quality. Riley just comes back in, so no problem there. Quite unusual. There may be a number of reasons. Maybe he's just rested. Maybe he's got something else in the background that he needs to sort out. How many times have we heard that? If he was injured, surely Ange Postecoglou would have come out yesterday.
Because he said Turnbull was injured, but he didn't mention Moy.
So quite easy. But he has been a standout in recent weeks. Celtic fans going along today won't be disappointed that he's out today, but they'll certainly hope he's there next week.
I'm not suggesting he's due his bus pass anytime soon, but Moy is the oldest member of the squad. And it might just be, as Mark said, a precaution. Just let him have a day off. O'Reilly did score his first goal of the season when he came on against St Mirren last Saturday and looked the part again, having previously looked a little bit jaded. So, you know, Ange Postecoglou, as they always say, sees them in training every day. He knows who to go with and who to leave out.
A big test for Aberdeen and Barry Robson as well, because if you go back to, was it the last time Celtic and Aberdeen played each other in December, that seemed to be the beginning of the end really for Jim Goodwin. Yes, there was bigger results that went against them, but they played against Celtic at Pittodrie. They set up really defensive. They lost a goal in the 87th minute and the Aberdeen supporters were not happy about the way that you know, Aberdeen set up against Celtic. A lot of the fans had a lot to say about Jim Goodwin and how they set up in that game, and he never really recovered from it. Yes, this is a different game, it's away from home, but it's a big test for Barry Robson.
It certainly is. And so soon into his managerial career, going to Celtic Park against this Postecoglou side that just sweep everybody away. So it'll be interesting to see how he sets up. I know Gab said that it looked like a 3-5-2 formation. So again, that's a wee bit different. But that day up at Pittodrie, Jim Goodwin had a game plan. He was 6 minutes away from getting a point, and how quickly football changes with that little bit of quality that then started the ball rolling and what ultimately led to his sacking. So different game, different circumstances at Celtic Park, but Ange Postecoglou will treat it the same. He won't treat it any different.
Barry Robson is doing an audition today. He's auditioning for the job of Aberdeen manager. When Celtic played at Pittodrie, Aberdeen were anti-football. Today, they'll need to be pro-entertainment.
because Barry Robson has people to impress. And I think that's the kind of football you see from Aberdeen today. He'll take his cue from the 60,000 crowd, from the atmosphere that's going to be there from the first whistle.
What do you make of the way Aberdeen are handling their managerial situation at the moment? Because Dave Cormack has said that Barry Robson is likely to be in charge until at least the end of February. Different teams handle it in different ways. Motherwell have already held their interviews. They did that on Friday. It's likely, you'd think, that by Monday we'll maybe know who the next Motherwell manager is going to be, whereas Aberdeen are taking a lot more time over it.
I totally understand it. I think it's right, because I think Aberdeen have got the luxury. They're in the position that they can take their time. Motherwell are a completely different kettle of fish. They're fighting relegation just now. They've got a terrific one midweek. But I think that Aberdeen are doing the right thing. I think they've got time to sit back, analyse, and obviously, as Hugh touched on there, Barry Robson, caretaker manager, we see it a million times. If he had to go and pull off a result today at Celtic Park, it would jump him right into the favourite seat to take it permanently. But I think Aberdeen are doing the right thing, because they have got to get their next appointment right. They've got so many things wrong at Pittodrie, they have to get it right, so take your time.
And from a Celtic perspective, they just need to keep winning, Mark. Simple as that.
As simple as that. I mean, it's in their hands. They don't need to change the way they're playing, really. Anybody that comes up against them, any style, any formation that comes up against them, they seem to play the same way and always get a result. Ange Postecoglou just needs to keep those levels. And when you've got such a big squad and it's so competitive, I think it's fairly easy to keep those levels. So, yep, same again today for him.
How do you argue with a man who's got one defeat in 57 league games? You know, the consistency has been off the charts with Ange Postecoglou. And, you know, the introduction of O today adds another intriguing dimension to the whole thing. It looks like an absolute belter of a game at Celtic Park.
Yeah, we are having a few technical difficulties at the Tony Macaroni Arena, so we will hear from Roger Hanna when we can. In fact, I think we may be able to now, Roger.
Yeah, Gordon, welcome to the Tony Macaroni. And I can give
Gordon,
you
he's done it already. Oh. How many minutes into the show and he's gone for Gordon already?
You know, resign. You know why? You know why I've done that? He's standing in front of me. That is, that's a sort of a local bias, I think he might describe it himself. Anyway, I can tell you the headline team news, Andrew, from the Tony Macaroni, and it is, there is no Malik Tillman in the Rangers squad this afternoon. The man has been at the centre of all the news stories this week after his goal against Partick Thistle in the Cup a week ago is not involved. In fact, there are four changes for the Rangers team that beat Partick Thistle in the Cup last week. Back come Connor Goldson, Fashion Sakala, Ryan Kent and Alfredo Morelos. James Sands and Antonio Cholak go to the bench. Yanis Hadji's rested on
Well, I think that is the technical difficulties. We've had some difficulties in the studio as well at the moment. We'll go back to Roger Hanna when we can. The difficulties in the studio is that as soon as Roger started speaking, Mark Wilson just fell off his stool, crashing into the wall. It was none of us even concentrating on what Roger was saying there.
I have taken my grandchildren to iPlays that were better behaved than this.
It's like the substitute teachers in, isn't it? And it's just chaos.
Yeah, it doesn't take a lot to get me injured, trust me. So can we please fix the stools in here?
Right, let's see if Roger can bring some decorum. Have we got you back, Roger?
You certainly have, Andrew. I don't know how much of that you heard. Did you get the team news at all? We are having technical troubles here at Livingston.
Yeah, we got the Rangers team, I believe. The headline, of course, that Malik Tillman is not in the squad whatsoever.
Yeah, well, I can give you at Livingston team a couple of changes. David Martindale's made after that shock Scottish Cup exit to Inverness Carlow Thistle here 7 days ago. Out go Jason Holt to the bench, and Bruce Anderson, of course, who was injured in the first half in that defeat. In come Sean Kelly and Stephen Omeyonga to bolster that midfield. So Livingston go with Shamal George in goal. It's a back four. Nicky Devlin, Jack Fitzwater, Ayo Obalai and James Penrice. Across the middle, Stephen Omeyonga, Sean Kelly and Scott Pittman. And then Stephen Bradley and Stephen Kelly will flank Joel Nubley, who scored half of his four goals this season against Rangers, of course. The subs, Hamilton, Longridge, Boyes, DeLucas, Montano, Holt, Shinney, Bahambala and Guthrie. We'll get through the Rangers team. Alan McGregor in goal. It's a back four. James Tavernier, Conor Goldson, Ben Davis and Borna Barisic. Then Nicholas Raskin making his league first start for Rangers with Glenn Kamara. Then it's Fashion Sakala, Todd Cantwell and Ryan Kent behind Alfredo Morelos. On the bench, McLaughlin, Cholak, Sands, Wright, Ruth, King, Devine, 17-year-old Zach Lovelace and 16-year-old Bailey Rice, both on the bench for an injury hit at Rangers this afternoon. The ref's David Dickinson. The VAR is Andrew Dallas. I actually did this game, Andrew, for Super Scoreboard last season, and Michael Beale had just left Rangers. It was Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's first Premiership match as manager. The likes of Calvin Bassey, Joe Aribo, Nathan Patterson and Jermaine Defoe all on the side. So that just shows you the sort of changes there's been since that game last season. They have been back once to West Lothian since then. Scott Arfield and James Tavernier scoring a quick fire double after Newbury's early open on that first day of the league season. That will be remembered as John Souter's only appearance, if you remember, in the Rangers jersey. Newbury, as I say, has scored so far in both games against Rangers this season in the league, but Livy still reeling from that cup exit 7 days ago. It was a real setback for the team, fourth in the Premiership, to lose to a mid-ranking Championship team in Inverness. Rangers, they arrive in far better form. They've won 12 out of 13 under Michael Beale since his return to the club. The manager's so happy, he didn't even name-check D.L. Wilson and Keevans when he was talking about punditry comedy acts through the week.
Well, the only comedy in this studio was Mark Wilson falling off his stool a few moments ago. But when you look at that Rangers team, Michael Beale has talked about the injuries they've got. That is really highlighted by the bench. Roger said it's 16-year-old Bailey Rice, 17-year-old Zach Lovelace, guys that haven't really been about the Rangers squad a lot and they're on the bench for this game.
It's highly ironic at the end of a week in which Michael Beale has spoken about having too many players and he'll need to get rid of players in the close season. Now he finds himself with not enough players to have what you would know as a recognisable bench. However, I go back to the point, the 11 who start are better than the 11 they face, and that's why Rangers are favourites.
No Malik Tillman in the Rangers squad, an interesting one, Mark?
Yeah, as again, could be a number of reasons. Could be carrying a slight knock, could be for other reasons that maybe one eye in next week, because he's certainly the man in form for Rangers. But when you look at that midfield, I think what Rangers fans going along will be excited to see Cantwell and Raskin again, who showed up pretty well last week. But even though Rangers are injury hit, you still look at the bench and who they could turn to if things aren't going right. They've obviously got Cholak right, Roof is back in there, and young King as well. So plenty of strength, should get the job done. I know it's a hard place to go, but Rangers always seem to find a way there.
People always sort of wheel out that cliche of it being a hard place to go, and it is a lot of the time, but Rangers do have a very good record there of late, Gordon.
Yeah, I think if you're Rangers and Celtic, it's only hard if you don't get in with the right approach. You know it's going to be difficult. You know Livingston going to get at you. They know how to play the pitch. They train on it every single day. But you can't make that as an excuse. I agree with Mark and Hugh. You look at that Rangers team, it's full of talent. Midley Park have got some terrific players. Morelos up front, they'll be hoping he gets amongst the goals. So I think that if Rangers go about their business the right way today, they'll get 3 points.
3 wins in the last 3 visits. You can't do better than that.
Well, 2 big games there at Celtic Park in the Tony Macaroni Arena, but that's not even half the story in the top flight, because there are another 3 big matches. St Mirren against Ross County, Dundee United against St Johnson, and Hibs against Kilmarnock. We'll get the build up from those games next.
Action as it happens, and your reaction from 5 on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, on today's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've had all the build-up from Celtic Park and the Tony Macaroni Arena ahead of Celtic against Aberdeen and Livingston against Rangers. There has been a big goal down south as well in injury time between Arsenal and Aston Villa. A big one in the title race as well. Arsenal have come from behind, now 3-2 up. An own goal from Emi Martinez as well. It came off the bar, hit him on the shoulder and went in. So that is a big goal, with Man City chasing them down. Scotland women's national team also in action today in the Pinatar Cup. They are 0-0 around 20 minutes in against the Philippines in that game. We'll keep you up to date there, but there is also 3 other big Premiership matches to go around. Let's go to Easter Road. Fraser Wishart is there for Hibs against Kilmarnock.
I am, Andrew, and looking forward to it today in the capital city. And Hibs, of course, last Saturday had a free day, didn't have a game because they were knocked out of the Scottish Cup by Hearts, so they've had a couple of weeks to train, get some players fit and just enjoy the victory last time out in Paisley. It was an excellent performance by them, and despite some of the negative headlines there's been around the club this season, I win today, I could see them in 4th place if Livy don't win their game against Rangers. And they're actually, Hibs, in with a good shout of European football next season. In fact, since the defeat to Hearts at New Year, they're unbeaten in the league in 5 games, 3 wins, 2 draws, 13 goals. They must be confident of continuing that run today. And it's really been helped by the form of Eli Yuan beginning to slowly show more consistent form. He's scored in his last 3 games. Really important for Hibs at that time is Kevin Nisbet, who misses out today again. Has hardly played a part in those three games. One, he was just after his transfer, he got injured in the second and then missed the game in Paisley the other week. And so Kelly will have to be careful of Ewan, but they must come with a wee bit of confidence after an excellent cup victory at Tannadice last week and a draw to Enniscalie Thistle. Of course, the quarterfinals gives them the chance of a second cup semi-final this year, but it's the league games now that must take priority. And for Derek McInnes, he must find a way of improving their away league form. Needs to sort it very quickly. 13 away games this season, no wins and only 2 draws. And if they're going to stay up, they must start taking more points on the road. They just can't rely on their whole form. I'm sure Derek would happily accept a point today, and he'll have to find a way of scoring, I think, because Hibs usually score a goal or two here. But Kelly have only scored 5 away goals in those 13 games. And of course, Doidge can't play against his parent club. Sean Lafferty left the club in January. Young Innes Cameron is injured, so a lot will be expected of Kyle Vassell up front, and he plays today as the lone striker. For the teams for Hibernian, they go 4-2-3-1 formation, but Stevenson is on the bench and Newell McCurdy miss out from the last time, and in come 3 players, Chris Cadden, Ewan Henderson and Marianne Cabraja. So they go with David Marshall in goals, Conrad Egan Riley, Will Fish, Paul Harlan and Marianne Cabraja at the back. 2 in midfield, James Jago and Ewan Henderson, with Chris Cadden, Josh Campbell signed a new contract this week, and Aidan McGeady in behind Ellie Youhan. On the bench for Hibs, Murray Johnson, Lewis Miller, Kel McGuinness, Jake Doyle Hayes, Jair Tavares, Matthew Hopp, Lewis Stevenson, Oscar McIntyre and Josh O'Connor. For Kelly, just the one change. Doidge, as I mentioned earlier, can't play against his parent club, so in comes Jordan Jones. Slight change to a 4-2-3-1 for Derek McInnes. Sam Walker in goals, Lewis Mayo, Joe Wright, Chris Stokes and Luke Chambers at the back. 2 in midfield, Brad Lyons and Blair Alston, with Dan Armstrong, Rory McKenzie and Jordan Jones behind the lone striker Kyle Vassell. On the bench for Kelly, Zach Hemming, Alan Power, Ash Taylor, Liam Polworth, Fraser Murray, Scott Robinson, Kerr McEnroy, Ryan Aliboisi and Bobby Wales. The referee today, Easter Road, is John Beaton, and the VAR referee is Stephen Kirkland.
Yeah, Hibs have sort of perceived to be having not a great season. It didn't start out that well, Hugh, but you look at it, they're unbeaten in their last 5 league games. Yes, in the middle of that, they had a big cup defeat to Hearts, but quietly going about their business, and to the point where they're only 1 point behind Livingston. European football is now a real realistic aspiration for them.
I thought there was a time when Lee Johnson was in danger of losing his job. I thought that the club would be in the position of having lost Jack Ross and Sean Maloney in quick succession, faced with a third big decision. But credit to him, he has stuck to his task. And the man under pressure is Derek McInnes, because a sequence of results today could put Kelly bottom of the table. So it's a big afternoon for Derek and the players who simply don't score enough goals. But for Lee Johnson, someone who is a great gift to our profession, Andrew, because as you know, he never stops talking. And sometimes you think he's all talk and no action. But fair play to the man, he's hung in, and other rewards could be on their way.
Yeah, Hibs will feel confident today going into this one that they can make it 6 unbeaten, that they can potentially put pressure on Livingston above them. Livingston, obviously, a tough game today at home to Rangers. They do have a game in hand on Hibs, but if Hibs can win today, potentially leapfrog Livingston, get them into fourth, it would be a big day for them.
Yeah, and then I'm pretty sure Lee Johnson would be looking up ahead of him in Hearts. You know, that cuts the points difference with Hearts to 5 points. And look, 3 or 4 weeks ago, could you have even envisaged that with the problems that was facing Lee Johnson when he had back-to-back defeats against his great rivals, and it looked like it was only going to end one way? But that game against Aberdeen, a real turning point. One manager lost his job, the other has kicked on, and he'll be looking upwards now. So yeah, it's been a big couple of weeks for Hibs, but let's be honest, they should be there. Yeah, Hibs should be there in the table. All this, you know, the last couple of years where it's been a shambles, sacking manager after manager and being in the bottom half of the table, they should be third or fourth in the league.
And you look at Kilmarnock's away record, the worst in the league by an absolute mile. They've lost 11 of their 13 games. They've only drawn the other 2. So they've got 2 points from 13 games. They really need to start picking up points away from home, because you're not going to stay up if your record's like that, are you?
Not just away from home. I think they've got to start picking up points full stop, Andrew. They've got a couple of real important games coming up. Now, yeah, I think Hibs will get into this game firm favourites because they're on their own. They're at home. But this is a winnable game for Kilmarnock. There's no doubt about that. And then I think their next home game would be Motherwell, which would be an absolute cracker to go and win for both sides. Obviously, two of them down there fighting for survival. And then I think they play Rangers. So they've got a lot of big games coming up. I said at the beginning of the season, I thought it was going to be a long, hard struggle for Kilmarnock. And so far, it's proven right.
Well, let's hear from both managers, starting with Lee Johnson.
It's the sole focus, isn't it? To make sure that we give ourselves a shot of European football. And like that, and that is a real... It's not a stretch goal, because it should be... sort of standard, if you like, for a club like us. That is how we're going to build that consistency of decision making, based on knowing the financial parameters that you can work with, and obviously giving our supporters what they want, which is real genuine competitive football, like outside of the competitive national league that's here already.
As I say, we've had some tight games on the road this season. In isolation, when you look at certain games, we've been unlucky and close to getting positive results, but there's been too many this season when we haven't been that. So last Saturday was a strong performance in terms of that side of it. Didn't give up too many opportunities to the opposition. And I think when you're going as a away team, getting that first goal as we did last week, you know, it can bring that pressure onto the home side that we've not been able to do often enough this season.
Well, that's Hibs against Kilmarnock, a big game down at the bottom at Tannadice. Dundee United against St Johnstone. Dave Galloway's there.
Yeah, we're hoping for a big crowd here today, Andrew, as Dundee United celebrate 40 years since they became Scottish champions. Admission prices have been cut. Some of the 1983 team will take to the pitch before kickoff, and there will be a singing section in the shed end of the stadium today. Of course, the irony is that the current terror side sits bottom of the league after picking up only 1 point from five games. St Johnstone's results, mind you, haven't been good either, but they'll come here backed by a substantial away support as they try and capitalise on a run of pre-split games that don't involve any matches against the Old Firm. Both sides have made a few changes for United. Firstly, in come Jume, Behic, McGrath, and Fotheringham out go McMahon, Niskanen, Middleton and Cudjo. So it's Birigiti in goals. A back three for United today of Smith, Mulgrew and Aina. A midfield four, McGrath, Levitt, Jume and Behic, with Fotheringham and Sibbald behind Fletcher. Up top, the subs for United: Newman, McMahon, Graham, Niskanen, Anaku, Freeman, Cudjo, Thompson and McLeod. Four changes also for St Johnstone. It's Gordon, Montgomery, Halberg and Clark in for Considine, Gallagher, Carey and McLennan. It looks like probably a 4-2-3-1 for them. Matthews in goals across the back. Brown, Mitchell, Gordon and Montgomery. McPherson and Phillips, the sitting midfielders, with further forward Wright, Halberg and Clark. May leading the line as per usual. The subs for the Saints: Sinclair, Gallagher, Wotherspoon, Rudden, Bear, Crawford, Carey, McLennan and Murphy. Referee is Kevin Clancy, and on VAR is David Munro.
Well, Hugh, Dave was telling us there it's the 40th anniversary. All the, yep, you know, the favourites from that team are there, from the title winning side of 1983.
And what players they were. I mean, Paul Hegarty. I met Paul recently in Glasgow at an Andrea Bocelli concert, would you put? Davy Neary. The Dazzler will remember Davy Neary, a Raith Rovers stalwart after he had won a title with Dundee United. Malpass. Paul Sturrock. Fantastic players. I remember the day very well. How do you like it if you're a Dundee United fan to win the title by beating Dundee on the final day of the season? It was just a sensational season. Jim McLean, now sadly no longer with us, was the creator of the modern day Dundee United, a man who took them to European finals, European semi-finals, won the title, and was just a terrific character within Scottish football. A genius to have done all that for Dundee United. And I wish them all well. It's sad to see the club in the state it's in right now. There's unrest among the fans. There's concern about the financial position of the club. There's obviously concern about the league position of the club. They're rock bottom. But I hope that Paul Hegarty enjoys his day because he deserves it, and all the other players of that era thoroughly deserve it too.
I must admit, just quickly, the 83 side, a random ragged many a time. A lot of them will have sore legs going out there.
How come they won the title then?
Yeah, where did your team finish that season?
Sorry, 82 then. I played with a few of them. Terrific players, as Hugh quite rightly says, and you know, they'll have a wonderful day, but the most important thing that the ex-players will be along there hoping for is a Dundee United 3 points.
Yeah, Dundee United have lost each of their last three league games. The last time they lost four in a row was Jack Ross's last four league games in charge. Yes, there was the 7-0 against Alkmaar in the middle of that. There was also a 9-0 defeat to Celtic in there. But, you know, pressure may start to build on Liam Fox if Dundee United can't get themselves off the bottom of the table sometime soon.
I think it's already there. I think it's already building. Hugh's right. There is concern about many things at the club, but you have to look at the immediate future of the club, and that's staying in this Premiership. And Liam Fox needs wins. You know what? I do fancy them today. When you look at that squad, that Dundee United squad, even when you look at how they played at Tynecastle, you know, I know they get beat down to 10 men, but they played well. They've got good players. They just need to piece it all together. But I fancy them today.
Could the ultimate irony be on where Dundee United face Dundee 40 years after that league title win in the playoff that decides whether Dundee come up or Dundee United go down? That would be the ultimate irony.
Do you know the thing, I'm listening to Mark there, and I've been guilty of as well. We keep saying this, Dundee United have got good players. Now, we know they've got good players, but we're now into February and they're sitting bottom of the league. How long are Dundee United fans going to go along there and say, we've got good players, but lose game after game after game and all of a sudden get relegated? So as much as they have got good players, they've got to get a good team to start winning and getting 3 points.
Well, their American owner is over for this one, so he'll be keeping a keen eye on what's happening on the pitch. That's Dundee United against St Johnstone, the final Premiership game, St Mirren against Ross County. David Friel.
Yeah, Andrew, and there's good news and bad news for St Mirren ahead of this one. I'll start with the bad news, get that out of the way first. Alec Gogic, Keanu Backus, Scott Tanzer, they've all joined the growing injury list and haven't made the St Mirren squad. It was already stretched to the max, and they are all out today. But there is good news. Curtis Main, he was a major injury doubt, but he has declared himself fit. He starts up front, and Charles Dunn, such a big player at the back, has also returned from injury. So I think Stephen Robinson, it's fair to say, will be boosted by those two being available. And they're actually trying to avoid a fourth defeat in 10 days. St Mirren have been a real success story this season, but they've had a bit of a tough time. Obviously, as I said, a lot of injuries to handle just now, and obviously losing players as well. They start the day in 6, or a point ahead Aberdeen. I suppose if Celtic do the business for them across the city, then they could even extend that gap today. Stephen Robinson's made 4 changes. As I said, out go Gogic, Backus, Tanzer and Richard Taylor. In come Charles Dunn, Greg Kilty, Thierry Small and Ryan Flynn. So St Mirren will be the usual 3-5-2 formation. Trevor Carson in goals, Marcus Fraser, Declan Gallagher and Charles Dunn at the back. Ryan Strain, Greg Kilty, Ryan Flynn, Mark O'Hara and Thierry Small across the midfield with Tony Watt and Curtis Main up front. Subs for St Mirren is Urminski, Shaughnessy, Richard Taylor, Fraser Taylor, Offord, Kenny, Campbell, Gilmartin and Jameson. As for Ross County, Malky Mackay's team struggling at the bottom. They lost 1-0 here at the start of the season. They then beat St Mirren 3-2 in Dingwall in November. There isn't usually much between the teams. I was looking back, it was a narrow one apiece and a draw last season. Over the years, it tends to be quite tight affairs. Probably similar today. County are second bottom right now. They're badly in need of points. Malky Mackay's a busy man in January, but one of his signings, St Mirren's Eamon Brophy, isn't clearly available to play today. County haven't actually played since losing 2-1 to Rangers a fortnight ago. They missed out on the Scottish Cup weekend. And Malky makes one change. Simon Murray is in for Eamon Brophy. So it's a 3-4-1-2 formation. Ross Laidlaw in goals, back three of Keith Watson, Jack Baldwin and Alec Iacoviti. Midfield four of Conor Randall, Noah Kenny, Victor Latoury and George Harmon, with Jan Danda in behind Simon Murray and Jordan White. It's also counter Monroe, Sims, Stones, Kankola, Samuel, Callaghan, Smith, Aurora Edwards and Guion Edwards. The referee is Graham Granger and the VAR is Gavin Duncan.
Yeah, well, Stephen Robinson is very happy with how St Mirren are going this season, Hugh, but they won't want to make it 4 defeats in a row. You start creeping into territory there where, you know, morale and things like that start to shift.
And David is telling us about the injury worries that he has for today, so it's a diminished St Mirren. The only thing you can say, though, is that they're playing a team who have scored 20 goals in the league all season. Kyogo at Celtic has scored 19. He's only one goal short of the entire goals for Ross County this season. So that clearly is Malcolm Mackay's big problem. But the way that things are going for St Mirren right now, luck appears to be leaving them behind for the moment. It will return one day, but as Mark and Gordon know, sometimes you're into that rut, and they may struggle today.
I think that'll be a good game, Hugh. I don't think it'll be a scrappy game, as we normally hear from Paisley after 4 or 5 minutes. I think that you're right. You highlighted there, Hugh, about Ross County not scoring enough goals. They've added firepower. I think Malky Mackay's got a little bit of a knack of the January window, strengthening his side, making them better. I fancy Ross County this afternoon to do something.
Here's the thing with Malky Mackay. Is he even going to be there to see it this season at Ross County? Is he not second favourite for the Aberdeen job at the minute? I wonder if they're looking at him.
Was Gordon Strachan the favourite last I saw, according to the bookies' odds? Which
you just wonder if he gets
accurate.
A shout.
If Harry Redknapp gets a Leeds United job, I am applying for the Aberdeen job.
Hey, Neil Warnock's back, isn't he? At whatever age he is now.
Yeah. 74. Still life left in you yet, Daz.
Oh, plenty of life
left. I found someone older than me.
His name's Neil Warnock.
Well, that is the build-up from the 5 Premiership games. We'll go back around the grounds next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, on today's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Around 15 minutes to go until the big kickoffs around the Scottish Premiership, and I tell you what, I hope they've got as much action as that Aston Villa Arsenal game had, because it went 1-0 Aston Villa, Arsenal equalised, 2-1 Aston Villa, Arsenal equalised, and then a goal in, was it the 94th minute? And it was an own goal from Emi Martinez. Jorginho hit the bar, came off Martinez's shoulder, went in for 3-2, and they had enough time to go up and get a fourth as well, because Martinez had gone up for the resulting corner, and a breakaway saw Arsenal score to make it 4-2. Some game, let's hope for more of the same up here.
Best English Premier League game I have seen this season, and I include Brighton toying with Liverpool among that list. So great entertainment. We will get the same today. I am really intrigued by O making his Celtic debut in front of 60,000 people. Well, not his Celtic debut, his first start for Celtic in front of 60,000 people. Livy, the drama that's going on at other places like Dundee United. Kilmarnock, as I say, are the wrong sequence of results, and Killigoe bottom of the table today. So, great game prospect.
Well, let's go back to the Tony Macaroni Arena with Roger Hanna, because Rangers obviously have a really good record under Michael Beale. They have a really good record at the Tony Macaroni Arena of late as well, Roger. But Livingston will be encouraged by their performances against Rangers so far this season.
Andrew, without doubt, there is a few injury setbacks today, though. You'll notice in that midfield, no John Lundstrom, no Ryan Jack, and of course no Malik Tillman. We're told it's a minor calf issue. Rangers didn't want to take any risks with the Via Play Cup final only 8 days away against Celtic at Hampden, so he's not there. It's a very young, youthful Rangers bench this afternoon, including 16-year-old Bailey Rice, back from captaining the Scotland under-17 side to a 7-0 win against Switzerland in midweek. He's on the bench, as is 17-year-old Zach Lovelace and the likes of Adam Devine and Leon King as well. So Rangers, they'll just want to get this out of the way. They'll want to make it 13 wins from 14 under Michael Beale, and then they can switch their focus to Hampden a week tomorrow.
I think someone that could be looking forward to this game as well, Roger, is Joel Nubley. Scored in both games against Rangers this season.
Yeah, and he's a terrific player. I spoke to him here a couple of weeks ago. He came back, made his first start in 3 months in the 3-1 win against Kilmarnock here a fortnight ago. He is crucial to everything David Martindale does here, and especially today when there's no Bruce Anderson. Bruce Anderson off injured in the first half of that cup defeat to Canley Thistle last Saturday. Nubley will be an old-fashioned centre forward this afternoon. He played sort of slightly off to the left in that game against Kelly a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, and we've lost them. There we go. The technical difficulties are back. But we got most of that from Roger Hanna there. The one piece of injury news that he did deliver to us is that Malik Tillman was it a minor problem with his calf? Yeah. I think Michael Beale has said beforehand. I think some Rangers fans will be concerned with that big game next Sunday. Malik Tillman's been so key for Rangers over the last few weeks as well.
All you can do is take the manager at his word. And if he says it's minor, then who are we to say it's major? I think perhaps best for Tillman not to be involved after the weekend of controversy and the week of further controversy that followed his involvement in the game against Partick Thistle in the Scottish Cup. So Rangers still have a strong enough 11. He's a terrific player. He would be a miss if he weren't ready for the cup final, but they've got a strong enough 11 to win the game today.
And no real surprise that despite the fact he did media this week, Yanis Hadji is not on the squad when you've been out for a year. I think he's maybe only played an hour of football across two appearances. Livingston away, maybe not the best opportunity for him to come in, is it?
Number of reasons. The nature of the game, what they're facing, and the pitch, obviously. When you've been out for such a long period of time, this is another thing with these pitches that it does affect people with long-term injuries, people with existing injuries. How many times have we seen players just left out when they're playing these artificial surfaces? So, correct decision from Beale. Hadji will have his time. I wonder if it'll be next week he'll be involved in the big stage.
It would be a big one to throw him in. But everything that happens this weekend will be viewed through the lens of next weekend, won't it? That's just what happens in this city, Gordon.
Yeah, you can't really plan because you don't know what's going to happen this weekend with the games. You don't know about injuries or whatever it may be. But I think that, you know, looking at Hadji, for instance, yeah, of course, one eye next week because of the pitch situation. Kyogo obviously will start in the cup final. Of that, there's no doubt. I just think we're in for a terrific afternoon of football, Andrew. I think we'll get excitement around the grounds. I think we'll get plenty of goals, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, let's hear from Michael Beale ahead of this one.
Extremely difficult one. Obviously, they know the surface and the pitch. I like going there because we take a great number of fans there, and their fans are close to the pitch, and I think they have an impact on the game. We know that Davey Abbey's team fired up. It's a squad, funny enough, just in the leaving of Scotland and coming back. The backbone of this team, the goalkeeper I worked with a lot at Liverpool, Shamal George. Morgan Boyes was a young player that plays at centre-half coming through the academy. Stevie Kelly was a boy that I had a lot of affection and a lot of thoughts towards his future when he was here, and I think he's been a good player for Livingston this year. And Joel Noble was my striker at Chelsea many, many years ago, under 9s, 10s, 12s and 13s. So I know Joel and his family very well. So there's some familiar faces there. It's important that we go there and put on a really, really strong away performance. Our last away performance in the league was away to Hearts, and it was our best performance to date. So I'm looking for somewhere around that, certainly out of possession.
Well, that's all the build-up from the Tony Macaroni Arena. We'll go back to Celtic Park next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Well, 5 minutes until kick-off in today's big matches. We'll go back to Celtic Park in a second. Just touching on those Rangers injuries that we mentioned before the break. Just seen the full quotes from Michael Beale there. He's talking about Malik Tillman, John Lundstrom and Ryan Jack. He says hopefully the weekend off helps them be available for next week, but that's by no means certain at this moment in time.
Can only take the man at his word. So clearly there is some dubiety over all three with regard to the cup final a week tomorrow. Not good for Rangers fans to hear.
Yeah, they'll be hoping they don't pick up any extra injuries today, especially when you look at that bench.
Yeah. But I've got a sneaky feeling all of them will be fit, have a rest week this week, and before you know it, they'll be back in
training. So young, so cynical.
How many times have we heard that before the big games?
Are you saying the man doesn't tell the truth?
No, I think he knows he's got enough in his squad to get through today.
He's maybe exaggerated the truth a little bit. I'm with Mark. Out of three, I think you're guaranteed two anyway. You might have one that's a real doubt, but you're right. The fact of a cup final at Hampden against Celtic, the recovery goes very quickly.
Did you mislead the press when you were the Air United manager?
Did I miss what?
Mislead the press?
Misled
yes.
The team?
Oh, sorry, I misled everyone. I still do to this day.
It's
a
sign of air. Fabricating the truth is something that you've been quite good at over the years, Gordon, I think.
There's not a true word comes out my mouth, let me tell you, and I'm very proud to say that.
Right, on that note, let's go back to Celtic Park for a recap of the teams and the build-up with Gabriel.
Thanks, Andrew. Yes, Celtic aiming to make it 9 wins in a row and maintain that 9-point gap over Rangers at the top of the league. Now, the big team news here is that Kyogo Furuhashi is fit to be in the squad, but not fit enough to start. He is on the bench in one of three changes to the team. O leads the line. His first start for the Hoops, a big opportunity for the Korean forward today. A recap of the Celtic team then. Joe Hart in goal, a back four of Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter, Lucas Carlstyle, Felt and Greg Taylor. captain Callum McGregor, in midfield with Reo Hatate and Matt O'Reilly. Jota will be on the right wing, Dyson Maeda on the left, and Oli to the line. Bain, Haksabanovic, Abada, Kobayashi, Kyogo, Iwata, Bernabe, Rousen and Forrest are the substitutes. What about the visitors? They only make one change from the Aberdeen team that beat Motherwell last time out. Of course, it is former Celt Barry Robson who's in interim charge of them. Liam Scales cannot play against his parent clubs. Jack McKenzie comes in to the left-hand side of the fence. They play a 3-5-2 formation. It's Shea Gorter in goal. Matthew Pollock, Angus McDonald and Jack McKenzie are the back three. Matty Kennedy is the right wing back with Johnny Hayes left wing back. The midfield three are Ilbo Ramadani, Graham Shinney and Leighton Clarkson. Bojamiowski and Duke lead the line. Substitutes for the Dons, Lewis, Markandy, Mislevich, Watkins, Palvara, Coulson, Duncan, Richardson and Roberts. The referee here is Willie Collum and the VAR is Alan Newlands. Willie Collum just leading the two teams out onto the pitch right now. Callum McGregor on the left-hand side. Graham Shinney captaining the Dons and clapping the visiting fans. It's a really big game here today, Andrew. Even though the fact Celtic have won the last five meetings between the two sides, it looks like it might be an easy fixture for them. But four of those have only been by a one-goal margin. The latest of them, of course, that first game after the Qatar World Cup just before Christmas last year at Pittodrie. And it was the start of a shocking run for Jim Goodwin's men. It eventually cost him his job. The Dons were resolute that day. It took a stunning strike from captain Callum McGregor at the death. And you've got to expect the Dons to be just as tough today. They'll look to stifle the hooks and hit them on the counter with Miowski and Duke up top. But we know the attacking talent this Celtic team has and the fact that they will not stop until the final whistle blows. The team's just getting in position now. A big game for O, who makes his first Celtic start. A big game here at Celtic Park, and kickoff is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard Goal Flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements. Trade accounts available now. Call them today.
Right then, time for your terrible predictions. Yes. Five games in the Premiership. Let's hear them.
Celtic to beat Aberdeen, Rangers to beat Livy, Hibs to beat Kilmarnock, St Mirren and Ross County a draw, and sorry, producer Callum, St Johnston to win at Tannadice.
Mm. The top two will win. Celtic beating Aberdeen, Rangers will get a victory at Livy, and then I'm going for home wins for the rest. Hibs beating Kilmarnock, St Mirren beating Ross County, and Dundee United on the 40th anniversary of their League One will beat St Johnston.
Well, you're talking about a man that's bang on form with his predictions, so I'm going top two, the same as the boys, Celtic, Rangers. I'm going for Hibs and Kilmarnock, a draw. I'm going for Ross County at Paisley, and an exciting game. And I'm going for Dundee United and St Johnstone, a draw.
Well, there is going to be a minute's silence at St Mirren against Ross County for Billy Thompson.
Yeah, well, rightly so. And you know, you can never get enough people to say how decent a man was. And Billy Thompson was a thoroughly decent individual, a very good goalkeeper, had a long and distinguished career, but essentially a very good man.
Yeah, well said. I didn't know the man personally, but I go with social media and a lot of the players that I played with who had came across him on numerous coaching staffs all said the same thing as Hugh. They couldn't have met a nicer guy, so fitting tribute for him today.
Yeah, kickoffs all around the country. Looking forward to not just the games in the Premiership, lots of good games down the divisions as well. Two big games in the Championship last night as well. It's a really exciting league. But you've got to say, it probably benefited Ayr United out of anyone. They weren't even playing last night, but results went their way.
And they've got games in hand, Andrew. So they could come with a late finish there in that title race. It's very exciting. But I think it's the concern of Queen's Park, Dundee and Ayr, and I don't think anybody else gets a look in.
An early chance for Dundee United. Behic, his shot saved by the legs of Remy Matthews, so they're looking to start quick. I've just seen a picture as well of a huge Legends banner, obviously marking that league title win 1983, 40 years ago, taking up a lot of the stand at Dundee United.
It's something that will obviously stick with the club forever. I mean, me growing up there as a young player, 16-year-old, Paul Sturrock signed me on the coaching staff at that time, was Maurice Malpass, Paul Hegarty, John Holt. Mm. And surrounding the walls at Tannadice everywhere you walked was pictures of that occasion. So you could never escape it. But I mean, for me as a young player growing up, having those guys run about and, you know, holding legendary status at the club kind of shaped my career in terms of how they got over the line in that occasion. You know, much of the morals they had in their team and what they brought to Scottish football. It was fantastic.
If ever you wanted role models.
Don't believe that for a minute.
No.
Oh,
listen, that's
16, Dundee United.
That's all balls. Honesty.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was about to do the teaser, but.
Oh, we've got one. Goal flashes with
Clyde Built Home Improvements. Celtic 1, Aberdeen 0. Callum McGregor. He scored very, very late on at Pittodrie in the last meeting between the two sides. He scored very, very early at Celtic Park. It's a goal for the Celtic captain. He volleys in, and what's that, around 3 minutes on the clock? Celtic already have the advantage.
Worst possible start for Barry Robson. You can imagine that the atmosphere at kickoff time was terrific. It's now been cranked up a notch. And so I think Ange Postecoglou will be going for the jugular here, trying to get it all over by half time and perhaps several changes second half. But that's the theory. The reality is we've got 87 minutes left.
Yeah, hitting out with the cliches early here, but Aberdeen will need to be careful.
Oh, I mean, I've been there before. I've been at Celtic Park and Ibrox and places where you think we'll keep this tight, and within a couple of minutes you lose a goal. The feeling inside, you're going, oh, here we go. Against a Celtic side, yeah, the game can quickly get away from
now,
you.
Now, to talk about simultaneous Saturday, all around the Tony Macaroni now, one Rangers fan is turning to another fan and saying, they've scored, and we all know what they mean.
If they can get a signal on their phone, we heard what it was like when we were trying to speak to Roger Hanna there. Wasn't quite good. So they might not know what's happening at Celtic Park.
Do people not take transistor radios to the game now?
I'm not even sure you could buy one of them anymore.
I've got one.
Anyway, before there are any more early goals, let's do this. The first half teaser. With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
Now, here's a taxing one for you. No easy breaks here. Name the last five mainland, south, or Central American players to score for either Celtic or Rangers in all competitions. The last five mainland, South, or Central American players to score for either Celtic or Rangers in all competitions. Your time starts now.
Right, so that is a test of not only your football knowledge, but your geography as well.
Yeah.
So mainland, South, and Central American countries. I don't know how much should I give away of what that entails. Should I maybe do that a bit later or right now?
If they don't know that, if people like the guy to my left doesn't know that, then he's excluded from the competition.
I know every.
I'll tell you what, if people are struggling later on, I'll give some hints.
Geography's my.
And I get that was a lot of information to take in, so you can see that at Clyde SSB. The full question will be there, and I will have a look and
he's
see.
He's north of the mainland.
That's right.
He's east. He's southeast.
What is it that David Friel always says at every game?
Yeah.
He's at Gordon.
What is it again?
Scrappy start.
David Friel says, good start here. Free flowing. Ticky taka passing all round. Maine has a shot blocked.
He's at it.
Has he left the St Mirren Ross County game and gone somewhere else?
We've embarrassed him into that, Hugh. I said to you earlier, a goal feast today. I've got a feeling in my fingers and my toes.
Thank goodness you said I could have been anywhere.
Also, if you declare this early that it's going to be a goal fest or a goal feast, then I think that doesn't bode
already.
Well.
Yeah,
I'll tell you honestly. Even
Roger Hanna says he just thinks that's gout that you've got.
even the bald eagle at Easter Road have got a few goals. Let me tell you,
just the one goal so far in the Premiership. It went to Celtic and Callum McGregor. They are 1-0 up against Aberdeen. So as it stands, they will extend their lead against Rangers in the table. But it is very, very early for all that talk.
But that's the fun of it today, because they're both playing at the same time. And that's the fun of it. You can do a whole day of as things stand. And as I say, I don't care about technical difficulties. All around the Tony Macaroni Stadium, the Rangers fans know that Celtic have scored. and the Celtic fans are now waiting for news of the Tony Macaroni Stadium. This is old-fashioned stuff. I love it.
Yeah, lots of good games at the moment. Not really heard too much from Hibs against Kilmarnock so far. Dundee United against St Johnstone has been relatively quiet. There was one early chance for Aziz Behic as well in that game. Not really any goals down the divisions either so far in the opening 7 or 8 minutes. The reports from Celtic Park are that they are playing very well at the start of that game.
Well, that's the last thing that Aberdeen want. They've been building up to this Celtic. You know, I thought last Saturday, Scottish Cup against St Mirren, you know, you're a goal up, you've lost Kyogo, and then you're a goal up before he's even reached the dressing room door to see how his injury is. And then you empty the subs bench in the second half and they all score. Hatate apparently had a wonderful second half, scored twice. O'Reilly got his first goal of the season, and O got his first goal as a Celtic player. So they're building momentum.
When you've got such a big game on the horizon next Sunday, how big is a really good performance and result the weekend before?
Well, it certainly is, but I don't think Ange Postecoglou would worry that he really wasn't going to get that. Because where's the evidence that that may pop up? I know you need to safeguard yourself from it sometimes, but anybody that he seems to put into the starting 11 just churns at the same performance level. Hugh's right, Hatate, O'Reilly, you know, coming in and scoring magnificent goals, and then they've apparently started well today. So for those players, it's actually putting yourself in the shop window for a starting position next week.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
St Mirren 1, Ross County 0. Declan Gallagher with the goal. It was a header from a Ryan Strain corner. And the update that I'd had about a minute before that had said Declan Gallagher's just tried a back heel pass on the left wing, never worked, nearly face planted, and he's now scored. Quite the minute for him.
Yeah. Declan Gallagher, fourth Scottish club he's played with. You know, decent player, international player.
Great knowledge.
Yeah, I'm giving you stats today.
No, it's not right. It's the fifth.
It's his fourth.
Fifth.
Only four teams he's played for. I got it and beat the pundit on Thursday. That's the reason I
thought I was getting
four. But that's a good start for St Mirren. Be a good crowd there, hopefully. Good game. I told you, goals will be raining in. You will have a sore finger by the end of the night.
They've had a really good home record this season as well. St Mirren, they'll be looking to continue that.
Yeah.
Many?
Four premiership. Five goals. I was just getting info there from.
Yeah. Producer Callum, yeah.
Hey, good start. Oh, there's one of these.
Oh, told you. Goal flashes with
Clyde Built Home Improvements. Rangers 1, Livingston 0. Or Livingston 0, Rangers 1, I should say, because it's at the Tony Mac. However.
VR.
Oh, I like this tone. VR review. With Clyde
Built Home Improvements. I'm actually not even sure it's gone to a VAR check. I think it's just been ruled out on the pitch for offside. It was Fashion Sakala touched in from an Alfredo Morelos cross. It was a late flag, so it was one of those where the assistant decided to keep it down just to see if the move had played out. Then the flag goes up, but there's not going to be a VAR check. I think it was just a genuinely late flag.
So you go to Celtic Park and one Celtic supporter is turning to the other Celtic supporter and said they thought they'd scored, and then it was ruled off for offside. So they've been jumping up and down at Celtic Park. This is what we want: madness in two places at one time.
Talking about offside, I mean, we spent weeks on here saying that VAR, the only thing it should be definite is the line's been drawn for offside, and that can't be wrong. And then you switch on Match of the Day last week and see the absolute shambles what happened there.
VAR is bad for the game. It should be done away with.
You know, like you there?
No, I think it's making a mockery of football north and south of the border.
No, it needs to get better. I shouldn't be done away with.
Because Brighton were done out of 2 points last weekend.
Yeah, I did see that as well. That was shocking.
Goal. I mean, how many shocks do you want before you acknowledge it's bad for the game?
The amount it's got right, though, Hugh, that's the thing.
On the flip side, there are plenty of goals that have stood this season that wouldn't have if we didn't have VAR.
We're going to the cup final week tomorrow.
He's just brushed over that.
doesn't suit your argument.
I'm going to ignore that one.
We're going to the cup final week tomorrow that's going to be decided not by Celtic or Rangers, but by VAR.
Anyway, just to clarify, that goal did not stand. So still 0-0 between Livingston and Rangers. Ross County have barely been out their own half against St Mirren, who have been relentless. A few early chances for Dundee United as well. well that got lost in all that are now Doom and Dylan Levitt, a couple of those off target. They've started well in that game. There was a low long range drive from McPherson, Saints' first effort on goal away to Dundee United. Cammy McPherson there, but that one doesn't bother.
Back to Andrew, what were you laughing at with the Dundee United thing?
All that nonsense. Well,
that's
that,
true.
I walked down the corridor at 16.
Inspired.
I was inspired. Absolute nonsense.
Well, what I mainly meant was the training methods that they employed to us back then must have came from their manager, Jim McLean, in terms of there wasn't much football involved.
Running.
What a running up Camperdown Park, and that kind of shaped the attitude in my group of players.
Did you have any footballing inspirations, Gordon? Was there any teams you looked up to at all, or was it just completely focusing on yourself?
Andrew, I always say it was a job. It wasn't 8 to 4, okay? It was a 10 to 12. It was a good shift. Then you went home, you got up the next morning, and then you played on a Saturday, got a hat trick, had a good Saturday, Sunday, started all again on Monday. It's only a job. People get carried away. Oh, I looked at a
people
photograph.
Would absolutely give up everything to be a professional footballer and have a career in that.
This fell upon him, of all people.
I looked at a photograph. It inspired me to play with Dundee United. I kissed the badge. Nonsense. What are you getting at the end of the week? Did you get a bonus? Happy days. On you go.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
Well, I think Celtic fans will be feeling a bit happier and cheerier than Gordon DL is, because they've gone 2-0 up against Aberdeen. Rayo Hatate, and it has been coming. Gabriel has said that they could have been 3 or 4-0 up by now, and Rayo Hatate starts today and gets on the score sheet. Celtic 2-0 up already, and that's only 13 minutes on the clock.
A man in form. Yeah. A man in form, Hatate. I said it was interesting how Aberdeen set up. Huron backed up by saying, well, Aberdeen were anti-football that day at Pittodrie. They need to be pro-entertainment today. Oh, well, entertainment for the Celtic fans, by the sound of it.
Yeah, and the curtain has come down on Aberdeen, because you don't come back from 2-0. 15 minutes not even played at Celtic Park. Celtic rampant. You mentioned the point earlier on, Andrew, that there's a psychological boost to be had from the game that comes immediately before a cup final. And for Barry Robson and Aberdeen, worrying times, because it looks as if it really and truly could be all over by half time.
Could be a sore one, Hugh, because if you look at Aberdeen, everybody's thinking this could be a difficult game for Celtic. But Barry Robson, caretaker manager, try to get yourself in the frame for the position. They've lost the most amount of goals in 47. That's now 49 goals in 26 games. That's incredible.
Sterling Albion down to 10 men. It's a straight red card for Blair Curry for handball. So it must be a handball by the goalkeeper outside the box, you'd think, that stopped a chance. Don't see that all too often, do you?
No, not really. Quite an odd one, that.
So whether he possibly came rushing out and judged it wrong or blocked a shot.
You know what, I don't know this, but keepers away, your favourite shout. But quite often down the leagues, sometimes don't put a sub goalie on the bench.
I would like
to see if they've got a sub goalie. I know
there's actually a good story this weekend. I'll need to find out the exact details of it, but is it Elgin, I think, have their goalkeeping coach on the bench?
Yeah.
And is he 52?
Something like that.
He'd become the oldest SPFL player ever if he gets off the bench today.
Rab Douglas not been involved on the bench in recent weeks, has he? Mm-hmm. For Arbroath.
How old is Rab?
He must be about 44, something
51-year-old
like.
Stevie Dunn was on the bench in their Scottish Cup game against Ayr last weekend. So if there's an injury or a red card, he could become the oldest SPFL player ever at the age of 51.
He's got too many old folk about you.
Goalkeepers get better wage. I remember Ayr, I signed Burridge. Oh. Remember the most? He's played with about 500 clubs. Uh-huh. And this is true. He come up and I was going to put him in the hotel, and he says, "No, I'll sleep in the boardroom. Me sleeping blanket, right, or whatever it's called.
Sleeping bag.
Aye." Anyway,
just had a new invention there.
Cozy
sleeping bag.
Cozied into in the boardroom. This is true. And then he had a great warm up. He used to walk in his hands as a warm up.
Yeah.
Right. So we then
when you say great warm up, As in,
a handstand and
what does it do for you, though?
I don't know. You need to ask Budgie. I'm not a coaching coach, goalkeeping
a
coach.
A coaching coach.
And then, you can say that again. All your players said that.
The following week, I think we were playing up north, and obviously at that time, you roomed with somebody. It's not like the luxury now, you get your own room. And if he got up to go for a toilet, he used to give the lad an orange or an apple. And in the dark, he used to say, "Look, if I come out and I put the light out, throw it and shout, 'Budgie keepers,'" and he would dive. That's the truest story I've ever heard in my life. And the lad got up the next morning and says, "I'm never rooming with Budgie again." What a character he was.
I could just imagine that being like a third choice goalkeeper would have been your dream as a footballer.
I particularly didn't take anything much to do with goalkeepers. I didn't particularly like them.
Oh, but I get what you're meaning, Andrew.
Just not just trick change during the week and then not even having to be on the bench. Just sit in the stand, watch the game,
and
just
get paid for it.
Yeah, that'd be your ideal.
I thought football just get in the way on a Saturday. Goal flashes
with Clyde Built Home Improvements. Hibs 1, Kilmarnock 0, and it's Will Fish with the goal, a header at the near post from Aidan McGeady's corner. So Hibs have the lead and looking to make it 6 unbeaten.
Now you see, he symbolises the difference in Hibs now, because he played in the Edinburgh Derby against Hearts and sold the first goal. He had a shocker and was immediately left out, and you think, well, this is going well, isn't it? But there he is, he's back and part of this Hibs revival. And good luck to him. He's got a goal today. I'm beginning to fear for Kilmarnock. I don't see them coming away with anything. And as I say, the right or the wrong sequence of results where Derek McInnes is concerned, then he might be bottom tonight.
Let's have a look at some wrong answers on the teaser. Do you want to give us a question again, actually?
Yeah. Name the last 5 mainland, South or Central American players to score for either Celtic or Rangers in all competitions.
Now, I did say that this was a big test of geography as well. Token Jester has gone for Cameron Carter-Vickers. He's gone for Scott Arfield, James Sands and Malik Tillman. And the thing that they all have in common is they are North American. Canada and the USA do not count.
Get your globe out. Have a look at where the North, the South and the East is, and you'll get the players. I've already got a few.
Let's see if there's any other wrong answers on here as well. Of course, Mexico doesn't count as well. That's technically North America.
Yep.
Along with the US and Canada. And there is a key word in there as well, mainland.
Sit up at the back of the class there. There will be questions asked later.
So there we go. We've got a couple of guesses in for Gordon DL at the moment. How's he getting on, Hugh?
No.
Okay. Fair
is
enough.
He North?
I don't know where he's from, but he's not on my list.
Let's have a look.
Andrew, no.
North. He is from the USA. Yep.
Yeah, North.
So, yeah, he's North American. Yeah, so he doesn't count.
Right, okay.
Because it's Central and South America.
I thought he'd moved.
You thought he'd moved. Now, I think there is a... Is that right? I did see an update there. Oh, no, sorry. I was getting confused there. I saw it flash up on Twitter, and it said penalty to Rangers, but it's from their B team and academy account. They're playing as well at the same time, so not from the first team.
It's like the olden days, Hugh, where the first teams played, remember, and the reserves team, well, you must have been involved in that. Reserve team played the opposite fixture at the opposite ground. I would have enjoyed that.
They were great times. If Rangers first team played Hearts at Ibrox, Hearts played Rangers at Tynecastle. I was at Tynecastle most of the time. Yeah. But you're right, it was fantastic. 3 o'clock Saturday.
I know it's hard to imagine a time before Super Scoreboard, but there was a time before Super Scoreboard when they used to get the half time results and put them up behind the goal. That's how you found out how things were going on elsewhere.
With a board.
Yeah, the board,
the golf leaderboard.
Big old, kind of thing.
Annan 1, Stirling Albion 0. Aidan Smith scoring, making the most of having a man advantage in that game. There's also been a save from Livingston goalkeeper Shamal George. It was a long range effort by James Tavernier in that one. Stevie Mays headed just over at Tannadice as well. Still 0-0 between Dundee United and St Johnstone. And there was a claim for a handball against Charlie Mulgrew that was turned down. Roger Hanna also says that Alfredo Morelos has had his shirt clearly tugged in the box at Livingston, but nothing given.
Oh, well,
who's the ref?
Andrew Dallas.
Not EVAR.
EVAR.
Oh, is he?
Well, surely you'd think they still have a look at that. The amount of things we're seeing.
Roger Hannah will give us the updates and let us know if anything develops there. But as it stands, still 0-0 between those sides. There is going to be
VAR review with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
So it's David Dickinson that's the referee,
the real deal,
at the Tony Macaroni Arena.
Yeah, you've been.
And we'll
for a
see
long.
A potential check for a penalty for Rangers in that game. 0-0 with Livingston. They have had the ball in the net. That one ruled out for offside. Fashion Sakala, it would have been on the score sheet. There's a goal for Stranraer, 1-0 up against Elgin City. Scott Robertson with the goal in that game. Still waiting on a decision.
Dickinson, Dickinson will take it to the auction. You'd be
doesn't even make sense. Mine's made sense. Yours doesn't make sense.
I didn't mind the real deal one. That was just throwing out any phrase that could vaguely be to do with David Dickinson there. I'll tell you what, it's going to the screen. He's going to take a look at it. We have seen it this season where was it Willie Collin went to the screen for the red card? The Ryan Jack potential red card and didn't overturn his original decision. So it has happened. It's happened a couple of times this season. We'll see.
If Roger can see it from the stand though and highlighted it, then you've got to think referee's seen it on the screen.
Penalty to Rangers. It's given.
Roger
couldn't get Andrew's name right.
This will be James Tavernier's 50th penalty goal for Rangers. 50.
So this season,
no. So that will not pass without comment on the open line tonight between 5 and 6.
Yeah, we'll need to wait and see the footage. But Roger Hannah seemed to think it was pretty clear from where he was sitting. You would expect it will be James Tavernier to stand up and take it in that game.
And if he scores, you would probably say that's the 3 points away already.
Yeah,
because I don't see Livingston coming back from that.
1-0.
Not. Oh, so is that one rolled over?
It's just blow the whistle. Dickinson, get them off. It's 1-0.
Oh, sorry. I still get Rangers down for the goal that was.
But 1-0 will be enough anyway. So, you know, Tavernier, 50th penalty scored, and I've written it down. There you are, Mark Wilson. Look, I've written it down. I don't need to wait.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
James Tavernier sends Shamal George the wrong way. And Rangers have a 1-0 lead at the Tony Macaroni Arena.
So now the Celtic supporter turns to his mate and says, they get a penalty. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm sure we'll hear a lot of that over the next week.
Yes, you will.
Looking forward to the build-up to the cup final as well, I'm sure we'll...
The build-up to the cup final, Andrew, starts at 5 o'clock tonight when people dial 951-1025. That is officially under starters' orders for the League Cup final, because the arguing and the shouting and the bawling, and we will do this, oh no you won't, we will do that to you, oh no you won't, panto begins at 5.
Yeah, we'll want to hear from you on the open line from 5 o'clock. We will be live from Hampden as well next Sunday, looking forward to that one. However, we are only 25 minutes into the 3 o'clock kickoffs today. 5 big Premiership games. Celtic 2-0 up on Aberdeen. Hibs 1-0 up against Kilmarnock. Rangers 1-0 up against Livingston. St Mirren beating Ross County by the same scoreline. Of course, a big game tomorrow as well. Motherwell against Hearts. Stuart Kettlewell still in charge of Motherwell for the time being. You wonder whether that will be the case come Monday, and you wonder whether that will be the case dependent on what the result is tomorrow as well.
Who did they speak to, Andrew? Motherwell.
Ian Holloway and Grant McCann are the two they've spoken to. Jack Ross is no longer in the running.
Was John Hughes not mentioned as well at one point?
I don't think he's been interviewed. No. I think the three as it stands, Ian Holloway, Grant McCann, and then Stuart Kettlewell, you'd say is in the picture, given that he's led them to one victory already. And could put up a good case tomorrow if he can beat Hearts.
The way I think Motherwell go about their business, like most clubs, is if Stuart Kettlewell gets a result tomorrow at home, then he'll be firm favourite. Yeah. Which we had Motherwell fans on here on Thursday night, delighted with the performance against St Mirren. But they've fallen into that trap before. Stevie Hamill got off to a great start against St Mirren. And then went to, I think he lost to St Johnstone and then went to Aberdeen at Pittodrie and beat them. And all of a sudden, he was the right man for a job. I start to worry clubs go down this road. The caretaker manager comes in, okay, you can argue Kettlewell's got a bit of manager experience, gets a couple of results, got a little bit of lift, and all of a sudden, permanent job, and after a while, it just goes from disaster to disaster. Motherwell should know exactly the right character, the right manager they need, and I hope they make the right appointment, because they're in a relegation
battle.
Do
you consider Grant McCann or Ian Holloway to be the right man?
No, I don't. But if you put it this way, Hugh, I thought somebody made a great point Thursday night in saying if you'd a short list of four and Stuart Kettlewell hadn't been anywhere near Motherwell, I don't think any Motherwell fan would have wanted him as a manager. I don't think he'd have got the job. But he's in the hot seat just now. Holloway, you've got to remember, as much as I don't think right now, coming from England, don't know the league, don't know the players, don't know a lot about it, the one thing he's got in his CV is he's got a good CV in the sense of he's taking Blackpool into the English Premier League. He's a Premier League manager, and you can't knock him for that. He's got great experience. Yes, you can look at a couple of results, a couple of clubs lately that he's not been too successful with. But he, as a character, he maybe just changed things about. It'll be interesting to see the road Motherwell go down for me.
A couple of chances around the grounds. One for Kilmarnock. Jordan Jones with a free kick. It was flicked wide by Kyle Vassell's header. Probably should have done better there. And Livingston, the ball going right across the face of goal for them, but no takers. It remains 1-0 to Rangers in that game. Hugh, give us a teaser again, because I think they're finding it tough out there.
Well, as I said at the start, this is a difficult one. Name the last five mainland, South or Central American players to score for either Celtic or Rangers in all competitions. There are, I would say that three of the five should be fairly obvious.
I think people are maybe just confused by the question a wee bit, so I'll narrow it down. North America doesn't count, so if they're Canadian, forget about them. Mm-hmm. If they're from the USA, forget about them. If they're from Mexico, forget about them. The question also says mainland, Central and South America. So if they're from an island, Caribbean, Jamaica, mm-hmm. potentially, if you're going down that route, forget that as well.
All right, OK.
who did you have written down there?
Oh, I'm going for Roof, never in there, Jamaican.
Kemar Roof does not count because it's mainland, Central and South America.
Ah, why can we not just go back to easy questions instead of this nonsense?
I had a 7-2 win on Beat the Pundit last night.
7-2?
Seven? Yeah. Do you get 7, Hughes?
Yeah.
That must be your highest.
I even got the Palmerston Pep texting me to say, well done, old fellow, he said. So
that's a fantastic result, Hugh. You're on fire this morning as well. But we are really struggling. Mark and I are usually quite good at this. But
well, you had Alejandro Bedoya at one point, didn't you?
Yes.
He's from the US.
I know
so
that.
He doesn't count.
But I didn't know.
So we've just had a tweet in from M. McLean, who says, just checking for teaser, can you confirm that the United States of Arab is not in South America?
Right, okay. Love by
you
that
one. You
make
one mistake.
Exactly. Goal flashes with
Clyde Built Home Improvements. Producer Callum, who's sitting to my left.
Oh no, that does not
cover your ears. Dundee United 0, St Johnston 1. Stevie May with the close range finish. There was all the fanfare, the 40th anniversary of the 1983 league winning side. They're all there, or some of them certainly are there today. However, it's 1-0 to St Johnston.
The greatest day in Dundee United's history, enshrined in the history forever. But Paul Hegarty can't play. Maurice Malpass can't play. Paul Sturrock can't play. You're relying on those who are there at the moment, and those who are there at the moment aren't doing enough. And that's a... it was a hard task at the start. It's now a mountain to climb.
Yeah, the cross came in from the right, and it was Stevie May with the goal.
Yeah, it's the same old situation. We keep saying it. Oh, Dundee United have got good players. Yes, they have. But are they a good team right this moment in time? No, they're not. Have they got the right man in the dugout? That's a big question. You put a young lad in there, first manager's job, inexperienced, and finding it very, very difficult. Now, I'm not saying that you have to be experienced to be a Dundee United manager, because Tam Courts proved the you know that wrong. But you can't keep continually thinking, yeah, I'll put an inexperienced manager in there and hoping for the best. He's struggling just now. He needs a bit of help. I know his assistant manager very well, Stevie Crawford. Very fortunate I played with Stevie as well. He's got a bit of management experience. But I think Dundee United, good players that they've got, are in real trouble.
Would big you, goal for Partick Thistle. Danny Mullen puts them 1-0 up against Ayr United. It's been a bit of turmoil for them this week with the sacking of Ian McCall last weekend. Chris Doolan taking the team today. Ayr United also looking to capitalise on the results of Queen's Park and Dundee last night. Unable to do so at the moment. Partick Thistle 1-0 up.
The board will be very happy because they said that they had taken the decision to get rid of Ian McCall before the cup tie against Rangers at Ibrox. Now, they said they wanted to leave themselves time to address the situation with regard to their place in the league. Chris Doolan, scorer of over 100 goals for Partick Thistle, he's another man doing the audition today, and that's a very tidy start for him.
Yeah, there are a lot of questions being asked about the Partick Thistle board and what's going on there, but one thing that will help them is the fact that the man that's stepping into the managerial job is loved so much by the Partick Thistle fans.
It buys you time.
Yeah, well, it does, but we only need to look back to last week. Stevie Hamill, loved by everybody at Motherwell, and he's at a job this week.
VAR review with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
A VAR check for Hibs to check if the ball was over the line. Of course, there's no goal line technology, but they will look at the cameras to see if they can work out whether the ball crossed the line or not. I think Chris Stokes for Kilmarnock attempted to clear it off the line, but the goal has not been given. It's not crossed the line. It remains 1-0 to Hibs.
Well, that keeps Kilmarnock in it. Had it gone 2-0 prior to halftime, then, sorry, there would be no comeback. But justice has been done because they've had a look, and you know, we have to assume that if you're having a look time and time again at a TV screen, you must be getting it right, surely.
Seems to be a lot of action at the Smyzer Stadium between St Mirren and Ross County. Ross County had settled Jordan White and Keith Watson with some decent chances, but St Mirren are coming back now. Tony Watt and Mark O'Hara had shots blocked in quick succession, so it looks like an exciting game there so far between those two. St Mirren looking to get back on track when it comes to that home record as well, because they were so tough to beat there. Was it 12 games unbeaten they had this season at one point before Hibs beat them?
But we've got intrigue and goals in every game now. In the five matches, we've got at least one goal at every game. And lots of intriguing questions still to be answered. So the day is progressing very satisfactorily.
And the good thing for St Mirren, touching on St Mirren, as much as they've not been in great form, doesn't really matter today because they've got to stay in the top six. You wouldn't imagine Aberdeen, who are sitting in seventh, are going to get anything at Celtic Park. So it stretches that gap if they can get something. You know, and it puts a bit of pressure, and they can leapfrog Livingston, who are losing to Rangers at this moment in time.
I did like this earlier when it was about the Aston Villa Arsenal game. There was pictures floating about before the game in the Aston Villa changing room of John McGinn and, well, Hollywood royalty.
Without doubt, one of the greatest actors of all time.
Who?
Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks and John McGinn just standing about. Together. What did they talk about? What did Tom Hanks and John McGinn talk about? What have they got? What do they have in common?
Tom Hanks.
Toy Story. John would have been a wee kid when it's like I'm meeting Woody. It's unbelievable.
Tom Hanks turns to McGinnie Esther and says, "Your mum and dad's still in Clyde Bank."
So I think there's been quite a lot of that down south as well in terms of big names.
Andy,
Will Ferrell's
Will
been
Ferrell
doing the rounds at a
Andy
few
Robertson.
Stadiums.
Aye, do you know Will Ferrell? You know who that is? No.
Yeah, I do. I know who he is. Listen, I've met a lot of famous people myself, but I don't tend to put on social media and brag about it.
You just come in here and brag about it.
Nonsense. Yeah. Nonsense. Any person that resembles famous, you've got a picture.
Not at all. Not
100%.
I've had a drink with Burt Reynolds. Mark, he'll tell you who Burt Reynolds is.
You had a drink with Burt Reynolds?
Yeah, and
how on earth did that come about?
I was at a football convention thing in Houston in America, and Burt Reynolds was actually in the restaurant, and the person I was with knew Burt, and we sat down and had a couple of drinks, and it was lovely guy. Lovely, lovely guy.
Did he?
Don't like to brag about it though.
No, that's what I'm saying.
That's not true.
That is 100%
true. That's not true.
100% true.
You told us earlier on today that not a true word leaves your lips.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I'm not sure I'm having it. We're talking about Tom Hanks there. David Friel says, John McGinn's Scotland pal, James Forrest Gump.
Oh.
The reaction says it all there.
He'll concentrate in the game.
Aidan McGinney's off with a hamstring injury, pulled up as he was breaking forward with the ball, limping heavily. Fraser Wishart said he's been excellent in this game so far. Matthew Hopp coming on, the US
still
international.
Still a top player, Aidan, but like, what age is he now? 36 maybe, when he's playing in that wide position. Injuries.
I think he could be a great number 10 just off a striker, man.
Yep.
See if you've got a bit of luxury, you can play him in there and just get him on the ball. He's got good vision, terrific feet, can score goals. I totally agree. I think his days of dropping the shoulder and sprinting by the fullback are gone. But I think he's a very intelligent football player for me.
Celtic seem to be in the mood today. Gabriel saying that they're toying with Aberdeen. Lots of 1-2s around the Aberdeen box. Of course, they're 2-0 up at the moment. They've had a few chances as well. It could be more than that. The Celtic fans will be enjoying that one so far at Celtic Park.
When you go 2-up early on, it just gives you that luxury to play that way. You know, pressure lifts. You can start enjoying your afternoon. Aberdeen camped in, can't get out.
What do you think, Kyogo, second half? Get a run out prior to the cup final?
I would leave him where he is. I would give O as long as I could. If the game's going the way Ange Postecoglou wants him, give O the full 90 minutes if you can.
Even at that, if they want to take him off, they can push Maeda through the middle and bring someone else on. Is that what you would do? Just not risk Kyogo?
I just wouldn't risk him. But look, it seems like an injury that the slightest wrong fall seems to cause him obviously problems. Now, that could happen at any time. It could happen in training, of course, but why take the risk anyway? You know, you minimise the risk. If you don't need to use him today sitting on the bench, he's not going to lose any physical fitness through missing the game, so leave him on.
I agree with you. I would be inclined to do the same. I would be looking at the game and thinking, if I don't need you, then I'm taking no risk whatsoever. But I'm just looking at the games, I'm looking at the goals, the results, and so far, the bottom three, we always concentrate on the top. Oh. Bottom three, all losing, which is so far good news for Motherwell, but they've still to play a very good Hearts team tomorrow at Fir Park, 12 PM kickoff.
A big goal for Airdrie away at Dunfermline. They're 1-0 up. Ben Stanway with the goal. Dunfermline, of course, the leaders of League One. Airdrie in third place, I think, is coming into this game.
But last Saturday, Airdrie were three goals up on Dunfermline and lost 4-3. So that one is certainly far from over. What's wrong with Dunfermline? They have to go a goal down to Airdrie to get going, but there you go.
Well, if it was a bad day for... Oh, actually, I think there's going to be one of these.
VAR review with Clydebuilt Home Improvements.
I think a penalty has been awarded to Celtic. However, there's going to be a VAR check to see... there's going to be a check to see if there was an offside in the build-up, to which there was no penalty to Celtic.
Willie Collins will love that one.
Put together Willie Collins, VAR, and no penalty. 9-5-1, 1-0.
That's nothing to do with Willie Collins though. They're checking whether there's an offside in the build-up. So it's either a mistake from the assistant who hasn't put his flag up, or it's the VAR then need to check whether
the final arbiter. He should know whether it's offside.
Yeah, they'll get it.
It's not up
correct.
To him to put the flag up or not. The referee is not the one that's in charge of.
It's up to him to say put your flag back down.
That's it. Give him that. You've had Willie Collins in your mind since minute one today.
Willie could have his best game of the season today. He will not have it at all.
He's had a terrible season.
Anyway, that decision is still nothing to do with Willie Collins. He gave a penalty and there was an offside in the build-up, so it's not been given. And an Athletic 2-0 up against Stirling Albion. Tony Wallace with the goal in that game. Stirling Albion down to 10 men, so you'd think there's a long, long afternoon in store for them. Cammy McPherson's corner, punch clear by Mark Berighetti. St Johnson still 1-0 up against Dundee United. But it's a key point you make there, Gordon, because the teams at the bottom look as if they've made, well, I mean, they're already starting to get cut adrift. St Johnstone, I think, would go 10 points clear of bottom place. Yeah. That'll be a really good result for them, won't it, if they can beat Dundee United?
I think that would be enough to see St Johnston ease the worry about dragged into that. Dundee United, Ross County, Kilmarnock, and obviously Motherwell depend on that result tomorrow. They seem to be that small group that are going to be battling for 11th and 12th place. It's very tight down there, but you just need a... It's a league that you can go and you're losing games, but you're not losing ground, and then a couple of wee results just lifts you out that problem area. But you just wonder, where's Dundee United, where's Ross County, and certainly Kilmarnock just now, where's their results coming from? Because if Motherwell lose tomorrow and Kilmarnock going to lose today, there's still a bit of football to be played, I know. Kilmarnock play Motherwell next week. What an important game that's going to be.
Be interested to see the Celtic incident back, because Gabriel, who is at the game, says it was a really strange call, because he said the penalty itself that was initially awarded, it didn't look like the foul was even in the box, and then an offside was given
what
in the
build-up.
Okay, fair enough. I'll give you that one. Anyway, a penalty it is not, and Celtic still lead 2-0 against Aberdeen at Pittodrie.
Well, they certainly can't.
Oh, sorry, Celtic Park.
They certainly can't afford to win 3-0. 2-0, I know it's an uphill battle against a Celtic team, the way they play at Celtic Park, of course it is. But if you happen to grab the next goal, all of a sudden gives you a lift, puts you back in the game. But getting in 3-0 at half time, it's a long 15 minutes in that changing room waiting for the second
Aberdeen
45.
Getting a goal, Kyogo comes off the bench. What about that?
Your old pal Roger Hanna's defending you here. He says, not everything Daz says is a lie. My mate at a local paper in Ayr confirms Daz and his number two were caught sneaking John Burridge into Ayr United's boardroom late at night. The headline in the local paper was Budgie Smugglers.
That's true, true story. I don't lie. I tell the truth. The whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Right, okay, that's around 44 minutes into the game. Still looking for answers on this first half teaser. Barry Munoz has said Claudio Caniggia.
Oh, I had him as well. Where's he from? North?
No, he's just not in the time frame. Oh, he's from South America, but he's not in the right time frame.
Not in the last five.
Not in the last five. Neither is Gabriel Amato.
No.
Neither is Janinho.
How many have we got?
Janinho. Get him off my list.
In fact, let's do this now.
The first half teaser with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
The last five mainland, South or Central American players to score for either Celtic or Rangers in all competitions: Alfredo Morelos, Diego Laxalt, Emilio Izaguirre, Arnold Peralta, and Miku.
And I will let you know the winner once we have it confirmed. We'll see whether anyone has managed to get it right. I think
that's difficult.
Is one person that has managed to get it right. Is that correct? Two people. Okay, two people have got it right. In first place, I'm trying to work this out. First place is this one here. Yes? Okay, there we go. First place is Alib, who got there first, and in second place is Sean McCready. So it was a tough one.
Well done, guys. That really was
some of those names you just forget.
Yeah,
that was a tough
one. We were
one
nowhere. Me and Dad's nowhere. Yeah.
Falkirk 1-0 up against Alloa, trying to close the gap on Dunfermline, who are 1-0 down to Airdrie at the moment. Callum Morrison with that goal. There's also been a goal for FC Edinburgh. It was a Matthew Allen own goal. They're now 1-1 with Montrose. We should be close to some half-time scores. In fact, we are at Tannadice. Dave Galloway.
Yes, Andrew, half-time, Dundee United 0, St Johnstone 1. Dundee United quickly out of the traps in this one. Behic's shot saved by the legs of Matthews. Dume blazed over from outside the box and Levitt sliced wide from the edge of the D. St Johnstone came more into things, though. McPherson saw his low shot easily saved by Birigiti, and Montgomery's dangerous ball in was just beyond May. The home side were having the lion's share of possession, but there were chances at both ends, and Saints took the lead in the 32nd minute. Hallberg crossed in from the right hand side for May to score with a neat first time shot from close range. The visitors threatened again with Birigiti's corner punched clear by Birigiti punched the corner clear. It was McPherson with a dangerous in-swinging corner right in on top of the keeper. He punched that one clear well. So St Johnstone ending this first half very brightly. United's bright start has failed to bear fruit, and the atmosphere among their fans has fallen rather flat. Liam Fox has got a lot of tough talking to do at the interval. Dundee United 0, St Johnstone 1.
Yeah, quick turnaround for FC Edinburgh as well. They're now 2-1 up against Montrose. John Robertson with the goal in that game. Plenty of time added on in some of the games. It was 2 minutes added at Celtic Park, 2 minutes at Hibs, 6 minutes at Livingston as well. Of course, there was a VAR check for the penalty. 2 minutes added as well at St Mirren. But there is a half-time, actually, and it is at Celtic Park. Gabriel.
Yes, Celtic 2, Aberdeen 0 at the interval. Superb strikes from Callum McGregor, and Reo Hatate had given the Hoops total control of this match. It was the perfect start for the defending champions, given to them by their captain, Callum McGregor. He scored in the final minute of the game the last time these two met, just before Christmas. This time, it only took him 2 minutes. After some early pressure, the ball popped out to the number 42, who was running into the box. He hammered in a volley at just inside the area. The keeper couldn't get a strong enough hand to it. A few minutes later, Reo Hatate made it too. He received the ball on the edge of the box. A little shimmy, just getting past defenders, making it look so easy, curling the ball into the far corner. He looks untouchable right now, and Celtic do as well, as they are 2-0 up. And they were just all over the Dons. Maidan nearly got on the end of three separate crosses. He could have easily had a hat-trick. Jota was running riot on the right wing. Hatate had a double couple of efforts at straight down the throat of the Dons' goal, and Celtic's attackers were literally just playing 1-2s in the Aberdeen box, despite the numerous red shirts packing the area out. Now, Celtic thought they had a penalty just before the whistle, but VAR rightly ruled it out for an offside on Jota in the build-up. The final chance of the half fell to Matt O'Reilly, fed by Hatate. A lovely chop and a right-footed effort across the goal, looked like it was going in, but well saved by Jay Gorter in the Dons' net. The Dons have hardly gone forward. They've got to offer more if they want to salvage anything from the game or just keep it at this scoreline. Celtic are on easy street, but Postecoglou want more in the second half. Half-time here, Celtic 2, Aberdeen 0.
Also half-time in Paisley, David Friel.
Half-time, Andrew, St Mirren 1, Ross County 0. I spoke about St Mirren's injury problems before the game, all the missing players, but you wouldn't have known that judging by this 45 minutes. Stephen Robinson's side have been excellent, they've been relentless at times, and they'll probably feel they could be further ahead. The only goal came in 7 minutes, Ryan Strain's corner was perfect, Declan Gallagher's header, unstoppable from 6 yards. St Mirren were really, really good in that first half hour. Ryan Strain, what a find he's been. He had a shot saved, he volleyed over, he was absolutely everywhere. Ross County took a while to settle, but they did then wasted a great chance on the half-hour mark. Keith Watson met a George Harmon corner, but volleyed over at the back post. Malcolm Mackay said, did come on to the game a wee bit. Jordan, quite a low shot saved, but St Mirren kept pressing. Tony Watt, Mark Harrity, both the chances, but County defended well. St Mirren are definitely on top here. County will need to up it in the second half to get anything out of this game. Half-time, St Mirren 1, Ross County 0.
It's also half-time at Easter Road. Fraser Wishart.
Tess Hibernian 1, Kilmarnock 0, Hibs ahead, but it could have been more, to be honest. Kelly keeper Sam Walker made a string of good saves as Hibs have dominated possession in the first 45 minutes, but only a Will Fish headed goal to show for all their good play. They started really well, the home side took the initiative, moving the ball quickly, putting pressure on the Kilmarnock goal, but the first chance came at the other end in 11 minutes, first real venture forward by Kilmarnock. A short corner, Jordan Jones crossed the ball into the 6 yard box, flicked by Chris Stokes at the near post, really good sharp save by Marshall to touch the ball over. Deserved opener came 16 minutes for all Hibs good players. A very simple goal, corner on the right hand side, Aidan McGeady, the outswinger, pulled it in with pace, and Will Fish somehow all alone at the near post fired a header high into the net from 8 yards. McGeady was in really good form, sharpened the ball, number of teasing crosses, causing problems for the Kilmarnock defence. But up at the other end in 24 minutes, good chance for Kilmarnock. Jordan Jones involved again, drove a free kick into the penalty box, 8 yards out, Kyle Vassell got space. I don't think he realised he had a bit of space. He tried to flick head the ball when he should just have got his forehead onto it, and he headed wide when he should have done better and hit the target. But after that, it was all Hibs. Lovely back heel by Josh Campbell, set up the inform, Ellie Yuan in the box. He struck the ball well. Good save by keeper Sam Walker to his right. Walker then again called into action 2 minutes later, diving to his left to parry a fierce Ewan Anderson, left foot shot from the edge of the box. Then Henderson saw his shot from 6 yards, cleared off the line by Chris Stokes. VAR checked and said no goal. But a real blow for Hibs, 33 minutes. Aidan McGeady, who had been excellent, pulled up with a hamstring injury as he sprinted forward with the ball, and he left the pitch really unhappy, and it looked a sore one as he limped quite heavily. Then another Walker save, kept it one just before the break when he pushed a Chris Cadden shot away for a corner kick. Big questions for Derek McInnes. They've been under Hibs pressure all 45 minutes, not playing well at all, hardly near Marshall's goal, but they're still in it. It's only a goal behind. I'm not sure there's too many options on the bench to change things in attack. Hibs been excellent. Fans enjoying the performance. Half-time at Easter Road. They'll be earning one Kilmarnock nil.
Well, the only half-time we're waiting on is Livingston against Rangers. Livingston currently 1-0 down. It was a James Tavernier penalty in that game. Roger Hanna says they're still playing there. Of course, it was a bit of a delay for the penalty, a VAR stoppage it was.
Well, therefore, you've got no complaint over the time added on. It would be interesting to hear, Roger, because when you're a goal up through a penalty and that's it from you in the first half, it would be interesting to hear how Roger assesses Rangers' performance other than the penalty kick, which has given them the lead, because it from this distance, it doesn't sound as if they're having one of their best days.
Well, let's hear from Roger Hanna now.
Yeah, Livingston 0, Rangers 1 at the break, Andrew, and it's a deserved win for Rangers. They have been by far and away the better side in the first half. They lead from a 24th minute penalty from James Tavernier, more of that in a minute, but it could have been ahead inside 10 minutes. A decent move down the left hand side, the ball finishing up with Alfredo Morelos. He knocked it into the 6-yard box. Fashion Sakala coming off the right. It was an easy finish at the near post. The only problem was he was about a yard offside when he knocked it past Jamal George. A late flag from the linesman, didn't even need to go to VAR. Play on there. George then called into action to make a save, a long range shot by the Rangers captain James Tavernier. And then the flashpoint in the first half, a ball in from the left, Morelos going up at the back post between two defenders. It looked clear to me James Penrice, the young Livingston left back, looked to have a big handful of Morelos' shot, pulling him down. Ball went for a corner. Referee David Dickinson gave the corner, then got the signal from the VAR. He listened for a moment, then went to the pitch side screen for a look himself, and unsurprisingly gave the penalty, which Tavernier dispatched easily. 50th penalty for Rangers, sending George the wrong.
Well, I think we've lost Roger Hanna there. There is some technical difficulties. We will see if we can get back to him, but it is half time across all the divisions, and I'll give you all the scores next.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean. Half-time scores all around Scotland. We've got the top team all around the grounds. In the Premiership, the half-time scores: Celtic 2, Aberdeen 0, Dundee United 0, St Johnstone 1, Hibs 1, Kilmarnock 0, Livingston 0, Rangers 1, St Mirren 1, Ross County 0. In the Scottish Championship, it's Ayr United 0, Partick Thistle 1, Cove Rangers 0, Arbroath 0, Inverness 0, Hamilton 0. In League 1, it's Clyde 0, Peterhead 0, Dunfermline 0, Airdrie 1, Falkirk 1, Alloa 0, Kelty Hearts 0, Queen of the South 0, Montrose 1, FC Edinburgh 2. And in League 2, it's Annan 2, Stirling Albion 0, East Fife 1, Dumbarton 0, Elgin 0, Stranraer 1, Stenhouse Muir 0, Albion Rovers 0. And in England, the early kickoff in the Premier League, it was Aston Villa 2, Arsenal 4 in a really good game there. In the 3 o'clock kickoffs, Brentford 0, Crystal Palace 0, Brighton 0, Fulham 0, Chelsea 0, Southampton 1, Everton 0, Leeds 0, Nottingham Forest 0, Manchester City 1 and Wolves 0, Bournemouth 0. We'll give you the second half next.